Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Yud. We will begin on Daf Tes Amud Beis, the last words, Amarava. We had learnt at the end of our previous shir Rava's opinion. The Rava teaches us that if somebody comes to Beis Din and says, Ploini Rava Li Unlertsoini, if somebody sodomized me, the halacha is palgin and debura. And according to Rava, we split his statement. And the statement that he made regarding what the other person did is believed. And as far as what he's saying regarding himself, given that we learned at the end of the shir, the concept of en adam meisim atzma rasha, a person is not believed regarding to say that he did an aveira, and therefore the halacha is that he's not believed. The concept of Pagin and the Bura continues Rava along the same lines. I'm Rava Plani Baalishti. If somebody comes and said, someone had relations, an adulterous relationship with my wife, the halach is Huva Acher. He could be considered one of the Edim together with someone else. That we know that we need two Edim. So he could be considered one of the Edim together with someone else to testify regarding the adulterer, avaloi lahar, and therefore he will be mechuyav misa, as is the rule for someone who does such an aveira, avaloi laharga. He cannot combine with someone else to put her to death because he's her husband. Ask the Gemara, what is Rava teaching us with saying this halacha? My kamash malon, the palgin and the bura, that we say Palgin and Debura, and therefore even though he's believed regarding the adulterer, he's not believed regarding the adulteress, so we have the ability to split the statement. Ask the Gemara Hainohach, isn't that the exact same case that we discussed in the previous year? As I said in my introductory remarks, what does Rava have to say this concept of Palgin and Debura twice? Answers the Gemara, Ma de Tema Adam Karv Eitzel Atzma Yamrinan. Because of the concern of Adam Karv Eitzel Atzmai, that's why we have to do Palginan Debura. And therefore we relieve him regarding the other person, not regarding himself. Aval Ishtoi, if the testimony is regarding the wife, Lo Yamrinan, we won't say this concept of Palginan Debura. And therefore, according to Rashi's explanation, we will accept the testimony in its entirety. Kamash Malan teaches us Rava that here too we have to apply the concept of Palgin and Debura. And again, just to explain what Rashi, how Rashi understands the Gemara. Rashi understands the Gemara as to be saying that when the person's testifying about himself, as we're learning, a person doesn't have nemunas to testify about himself. That's why we have to say Palgin and Debura. However, where he's testifying regarding someone else, and we're going to believe him regarding that other individual, perhaps once we believe him regarding that other individual, we should also believe him regarding himself. That's why the Rava had to teach us that still here, since his wife is considered his relative, we can't believe him regarding his wife, and we have to apply the concept of Palgin and Debura. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. The Yad Ramah has a different way of explaining the Gemara. The Yad Ramah explains the Gemara that the Gemara is teaching us, says the Yad Ramah, that since he's coming to testify that his wife did this terrible Aveira, and that if she did this terrible Aveira, he no longer will remain married to her. And since he's no longer going to remain married to her, perhaps we should already consider it like a situation of that they're not married, and therefore he should be allowed to say testimony regarding his wife. Teaches us the Gemara that as long as they are married, and a husband may not say testimony regarding his wife, and that's why we have to use the concept here of Palgin and Debura. Other And Mepharshim, however, discuss another issue. How could someone be believed to say that this person had adulterous relationship with my wife? How could a person be believed to say Eidus regarding such a situation, regarding such an individual? Isn't this certainly a situation of a negei b'dover, that he's partial, that he's a soinei, that he's an enemy? So some poskim, based on this Gemara, that doesn't say that the husband is disqualified from saying Eidus, say from here we see that the only time we apply such a concept is only in situation of dine mominis, where it's financial, where there's a financial issue at stake. Here, by him saying testimony regarding this man, there is no financial issue at stake, and therefore he's trusted to say Eidus. Other Mepharshim I saw explain that we don't just apply the concept that people are enemies. And therefore, here, where we don't have, as the Margolius Yam explains the opinion of the Marshal, we don't have a history that this man that this husband hates this suspected, accused adulterer. So even though, according to his testimony, he did a terrible thing with this man's wife, he doesn't become automatically disqualified from saying Eidus. Continues the Gemara. Ve'amarava, Plani Baal Nar Marosa. Somebody comes and says testimony that a man had relations with a Nar Marosa without identifying who she is. For Huzmu. And after these Eidim said this testimony, these Eidim become Muslim. And we know that halacha, as we've been discussing, is that the punishment for Eidim Zomim, for Sisim Loikash, Zomim Lasis Lochiv. So here, by saying that this person did this Aveira, he would be Chayiv Misa, they were trying to get them to be put to death for adultery. And also that the woman should lose her Ksuba, because she did this act. The halacha is Narogim Veim Shamim Mamon. They will only be killed and they won't pay for the ksuba. The reason being, since they didn't identify who the woman was, so they didn't specify somebody who should be losing the ksuba. As the Rishonim, obviously they won't be obligated to pay the ksuba. They never identified who is the person, who is the woman that's in question. Answer the Rishonim, that what happened here was that the Eidim said testimony. And when they said testimony, they indeed did not identify who the woman was. But in the course of the questioning, in the course of our questioning them, which as we've been learning, and we're learning, Mitzvah Shem, that's a crucial part, it emerges who was the woman. Still, since they did not expressly identify her, they are not obligated to pay because of the halachas of Kasha Zomam, the ksuba payment that they wanted her to deprive her of. However, if they did identify who this woman was, if they identified that she was Bito Shaplani, she was this person's daughter, for Huzmu, and then they were made into Eidim Zomim, the halacha would be Narogim Mishalim Mamon. Their punishment would be that they would be killed and also have to pay. Why? Because their testimony would have resulted in the adulterer and the adulteress being killed, and the ksuba payment, which the girl's father, given that she's still a Nara Hamarosa, would be entitled to, he would have lost. And as we discussed in the previous year, even though we apply the concept of Kimle B'du Rabimene, and we don't give a person two punishments for the same Aveira, here, that's only if it's due to one victim. Here, the mamon lazeh, the money that they wanted to deprive Darusa's father of the money. The nefashis, they wanted to deprive the adulterer and the adulteress, they wanted to have them killed. And here we don't, therefore, at least as we explained in our previous year, in a situation of Eidim Zomim, apply the concept of Kimle B'drabimene. Again, the Mepharshim emphasize that the question here is specifically by a case of a Nara Hamarasa, where if she indeed had this adulterous, that if she gets divorced or her husband dies, the ksuba payment goes to her father, and therefore by them offering this testimony, they wanted to deprive the father of that right. That's why the halacha is that they have to pay it to the father. However, if it would not be such a situation, but rather if the situation were one where they were talking about, and the situation was that she was in the sewer, that there they were trying to deprive her of her ksuba payment. If they're trying to deprive her of her ksuba payment, there we would apply the concept of kimelevet ramenei, and she would not, and they would not have to pay the ksuba payment because they're already getting killed because they tried to get her killed. Furthermore, explained the Rishonim, when we speak here about her ksuba payment, we need to understand that the ksuba payment that the father would collect is not the entire value of the ksuba, because even if they would remain married, we don't know for sure that she would ever collect the ksuba, because the ksuba is only collected if the husband divorces her or if the husband predeceases her. So the ksuba has a discounted value, how much somebody would be willing to pay for this ksuba on the not knowing for sure if it will ever come to collection. So when our Gemara says that she's entitled that they pay the ksuba value, it's only this discounted value. Vama Rava, continues Rava. If somebody comes and says, Ploini Rava Hashar, that this person sodomized Hashar, and again, and not identifying who the axe is, Narog v'huzmu, and then these Adam, if these Adam say this, and then they are Muslim, the halacha is Narog v'emisham amamun. Since they didn't identify who the axe is, the halacha is that they wouldn't be obligated, they weren't causing a financial loss with their testimony, that the halacha is, were they to identify who the axe was, the halacha is that the axe would have to be killed, and therefore, Narog v'emisham amamun. However, if they identify the axe, they said it was Shirish Aplani, and then for Huzma they become Muslim, that the testimony was false, then the halacha would be Neharogim u'misham l'mamin. Mamin l'zeh, the mamin that they would pay is because they wanted to get the axe killed, so they have to pay the owner of the axe the value of the axe. Nefashos l'zeh, and they're killed because they wanted to, because according to their testimony, the person who did this Aveira should be killed. Ask the Gemara, Hasulamuli, why did Rava have to teach us this halacha? Haino hach, isn't this the halacha that we've learned previously? Answers the Gemara, for it itself, there was no reason for Rava to teach us the halacha. Reason Rava taught us this halacha is Rishnikabai Bayalai, because Rava asked a question on this halacha. The Bay Rava, for Rava asks, if somebody comes into Bezdin and says, Ploini Rava Shairi, somebody sodomized my axe, Mahu, what is the halacha? And as the Rishonim explain, Rashi explains, do we here too have to apply the concept of Palgina Debura, just like we had to apply it when somebody says testimony that affects himself, as we learned in yesterday's shir, we say Palgina Debura when it affects his wife, as we learned at the beginning of today's shir, or do we not apply the concept? What? The Gemara's question. And therefore, since we're going to accept his testimony regarding the person who did the Aveira, we're also going to apply, we're going to accept it regarding his acts. And the way Mefarshim understand the Gemara is as follows. If somebody walked in and said testimony only about his acts, perhaps he wouldn't be believed. Here, however, he's saying it about the person, about the Reveya. And since he's going to be believed regarding the Reveya, he will also believe regarding the acts. And just like we had to apply Palgina Debura in the previous cases, we would have to apply it here too. And says the Gemara, Basa Dibaya, Had Pashta, Adam Karvetzel Atzmai, Veina Adam Karvetzel Bamonai. And therefore, in this case, if he's believed regarding the other person, he will also believe regarding the axe. We learned in the Mishnah that the opinion of the Tanakama is that Makas Pishloisha, that Dine Torah that revolve, that are Makas in Torah, have three Dayonim. Ask the Gemara Manani Mili. How do we know this number? Amar of Hona, Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Ki Rabban Anoshim v'nikshu el mishpat v'shfatam v'tikus atzadik v'shius arasha v'hayim bin hakas arasha." Bin hakas arasha teaches us the din of Malkus. So this is the pasuk that teaches us about Malkus, and the pasuk and the pasuk says v'shfatam. Shvatam means a plural. The minimum number of a plural is two. Shnayim. And since we have a rule that ain't best in Shako, Masifin Lehm or Echad Arekan Shloisha, and that's how we know we need to have three Dayonim for a Makas Din Torah. Ask the Gemara if we're learning it from this Pasuk, El Matovitz, why don't we learn as follows? The Pasuk begins the word Vitztiku to teach us Shnayim, that you have to have two people. The Pasuk uses the words Vershiu, again Shnayim. Then the Pasuk uses Vishvatim, is another two. 2 + 2 + 2 = 6. Ain't bezdin shakel. We can't have an even member bezdin. Harei kan sheva. And we should have to have 7 dayanim for the entire of Malkus. Answers the Gemara. Ahu me bai leicha de ula. Dama ula. The pasuk of its tikkus at tzadik v'rishius a rasha cannot be used to teach us the number of dayanim that are required for the entire of Malkus. We need it to teach us for what Ula taught us. It's interesting to note that Reb Chaim Brisker says that when we speak here in the Gemara about the amount of Dayanim that are needed for the entire of Makas, it's not only for the actual Din Torah, but furthermore for the actual administering the Makas would have to be, it would have to take place in front of these Dayanim. Says the Gemara, we need these extra words to teach us Ula's Din. Dam Ula, Remez Le'edim Zayim Min HaTorah Minayim. So the Gemara before it goes further asks Remez Le'edim Zayim, do we need a Remez for Eidim Zayim? The pasuk speaks about it explicitly, V'ksiv, as we've been quoting, V'sisim Lo'i Kash Zomim Lasis Le'echav Ela, says the Gemara, Remez Le'edim Zayim Shloikim Minayim. As we were learning Mitzvot Shem and Masech Demakis, the Gemara Masech Demakis says as follows, we've been learning that what is the punishment for Eidim Zayimim? V'sisim Le'kash Zom Lasis Lachav. Well, what they wanted to do to someone else should happen to them. But there are situations where we can't do that. The example that the Gemara Masech Demakis discusses at great length is a situation where someone said that this, that a certain individual is a Ben Grush or Ben Chalutza. He's not qualified to be a Kayin. And then they turn out these Edom that said this to be Edom Zayimim. Now, if the Edom Zayimim are Yisraelim, we can't say, well, we'll punish them that they wanted to disqualify that person from being a Kayin, and therefore they won't be able to be Kohanim. They weren't Kohanim in the first place. So what punishment is given under those circumstances? So as Ula will teach us, this pasuk that we're now quoting is going to teach us that they get Malkus in such a situation. Diksiv, because the pasuk is somewhat of a difficult pasuk, asks Ula. The pasuk says v'tzdikus a tzadik, they should clear the innocent person for shius a rasha, and they should convict the person that did the aveira. Ask the Gemara, how do we connect these two statements? Mishum v'tzdikus at tzadik v'shius a rasha? Does the acquittal of a tzadik and the conviction of a rasha have any connection to what the pasuk continues for him ben hakas a rasha, that the person that the aveira gets malchus? Elo, the pasuk is teaching us edim sheshius a tzadik. If there are edim that were attempting to convict an innocent individual, v'asu eda achrinu v'tzdikus a tzadik mikara. And then Edom Zayimim come in and say, you can't convict him because you were elsewhere. He's innocent. The Shavin Olanach Rishoyim, they say that the Edom are the Rishoyim. Such Edom that attempted to be Edom to say false testimony for Hayim Hen Hakas Rasha get Malkus. So therefore, since we need the Psukim of Itzdikos Etzadik Rashius Rasha to teach us that under certain circumstances Edom Zomim get Malkus, we cannot use the Pasuk, those Psukim, to teach us the number of Dayonim that are required for the entire of Malkus. Ask the Gemara, why do we need this pasuk to teach us that Edom Zomim get Malkus? Why don't we learn it from the pasuk of Loisana Barech Eid Shaker, that if somebody says lie about someone else, he's over alav? Answers the Gemara, shouldn't have a lav shame b'maisa, because lav shame b'maisa ain't like in love. For Loisana itself, Malkus cannot be given, because Loisana is a lav shem b'maisa, doesn't involve an action, and any lav that doesn't involve an action, there is no chiv malchus for. That's why we need to have the pasuk of Tzdikus Atzadik Rishius Arashim. There's actually an interesting machloikis. Now that we've identified that Tzdikus Atzadik Rishius Arashim comes to teach us that at least under certain circumstances, Edom Zomim get Malkus, how do we understand this? Does that mean to say that even though Loisana is typically a lav she'en by Maisa, for which there are no Malkus, Hitzdikus HaTzadik Rishius HaRosha says that here it will be an exception and they will get Malkus for this lav she'en by Maisa? Or is it to be understood that for Loisana there is no Malkus? The Malkus is only for Vahaya in Bin Hakus Rasha, because Loisana is a lav shem b'maisa. The Nafkamina is regarding what Hasra has to be given to the Edom Zomimin, because as we know, we have to give Hasra for the actual Avera that's being transgressed, and here we would need to know, is the lav of Tzdikus HaTzadik, or is the lav Loisana? Furthermore, the Mefarshim asks that our Gemara is saying that this is a situation of a lav shem b'maisa. We're going to learn later in our Masechta, asked the Mefarshim, that there are opinions that a kimas svasayim have a maisa. Just moving your lips is considered an act. So if so, why is this considered a lav shem b'maisa? The Edom are moving their lips. So, and in fact, the Mefarshim go on to ask, there's another question, because there are opinions that testimony is accepted in written form. So again, the question is very strong. If Edom write their testimony, which everybody would agree that writing is considered a maisa, why is it considered a lav shem b'maisa? So Ritva answers that since the edus all emanates from seeing, yes, the seeing can ultimately lead to speaking, but it all emanates from seeing. That's why it's considered a lav shem b'maisa, because seeing is a lav shem b'maisa. As we continue to learn our Mishnah, Mishum Rav Shmuel Amru, Besum Rav Shloisha, that 23 dayonim are need for a din Torah that involves Malkus. Amar Abaya, by time Rav Shmuel, ask the Gemara, from where does Rav Shmuel take this opinion? Amar Abaya, Ashi Rosh Rosh Mechayv Mises. He learns Gzeres Shavu Mechayv Mises. Ksiv Hocha, we just discussed that the Pasuk V'Hayim Bin Hakos HaRosha speaks about Malkus, and the Pasuk regarding Mises says, V'Ksiv Hossam Ashu Rosh Lomus, Ma Lahalon, just like by a situation of a capital offense, we know that we need to have a Beis Din of 23, Beis Din V'Shloisha, as we learned at the beginning of our Masechta. Afkan here too, when we speak about the entire of Malkus, because of this Kseiru Shava, we'll need to have a Beis Din of Esrim Shloisha 23. Rav Amar, Malkus V'Makom Misa Medes. And as we show in preface, before we try to explain Rava's opinion, it's not that Rava necessarily argues on the Gzeri Shava. Actually, Rava can't argue on Gzeri Shava. What the Gemara here means to say is that Rava says there's a Svara, there's a logic to understand why Malkus is considered like Misa. Because Malkus v'Makom Misa Medes. And the way Rashi, and actually ultimately Tosfos, understand the Gemara is as follows. When a person does an Aveira, he really should be Mechuyav Misa. So certain Averis, the Torah identifies the Misa. And by certain averus, the Torah doesn't identify the Misa, but what the Torah says is Malkus, and Malkus stands in the place of Misa. So if Misa requires a Bezdin of 23, so too with Malkus. Tosfos attempts to say different pshatim. Tosfos attempts to say a pshat that maybe Malkus or Malkus Misa are medes because we know that the Bnei Noach have Zay Mitzvah Bnei Noach, and by the Bnei Noach, as Rosson Zuy Misasson, as soon as they transgress an Aveira, any of them, the Mechuyiv Misa. And that's why the Gemara wants to say, we see that all Aveiras have in them a Chiyiv Misa. Another Pshat Taisa says, terms to say, is because we know that a person sometimes, while receiving Malkus, could Chas V'Shalom die. So we see the Malkus for Malkus Misa Medes. The problem with the first Pshat is, how are we comparing Bnei Yisrael to Bnei Noach? The problem with the second Pshat is that the Shakl V'Tarya that we're going to learn now in the Gemara will not be understandable if that's already Pshat and Malkus for Malkus Misa Medes. And therefore we're going to follow Rashi's Pshat that a person who does a Veira is Mechuyiv Misa. And Malkus is that form of Misa perhaps that is Mechuyiv. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to understand. We know that the Gemara Masechta Malkus teaches us that before Malkus are administered, they assess how many Malkus this person who did the Aveira could withstand. Why should we do that assessment? Let's give him all 39 Malkus. Vimos, Lemus. And if he'll pass away, he'll die. We don't, because we say Malkus for Malkus Misa Medes. Aren't we saying that he really is supposed to die? Answers the Gemara. Amalei. The Pasuk says, Amakro, V'nikra Achicha Lo'inecho. Kimachus, the Torah says that when we give Malkus, Agaba Dechayimachus. It has to be your brother. Your brother means while he's still alive. Once he's dead, he's not your brother, and therefore Malkus is not given to him. As to Rishash, from our Gemara it seems that a dead person is no longer considered a brother. As to Rishash, that we see that in specifically in Masechta Yevamos, that a brother is still considered a brother even after he passes away. So why is our Gemara saying that after he dies he's no longer considered a brother? Answers the Rishash. There's a nafkamina between a biological brother and a brother that our pasuk is referring to. It's not a biological brother, rather it refers to we're all brothers, all members of Klal Yisrael. A biological brother remains a brother forever. A brother, because we're all members of Klal Yisrael, is only as long as he is alive. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim use this concept of the Rishash to speak about the following situation. A person left a will, leaving his estate to his brothers. And he had two brothers, but one brother predeceased him, and one brother was alive. And now there was a dentira between the children of the deceased brother, who said that we deserve a share in this estate, because our father was a brother. And the other brother, the live brother, said, no, a brother means only a live brother, not a dead brother. The halacha, based on what we just learned from the Rishash, is that a biological brother remains a brother even after he dies. The Mefarshim, we speak about this concept of Malkus B'Mikum Misa Medes, say that there are very many halachic ramifications by saying Malkus B'Mikum Misa Medes. One question that comes up is that could Malkus be administered to Zman Hazeh? And if we say that Malkus B'Mokam Misoi Medes, so just like we know, as we're going to learn later in our Masechta, that Misa cannot be administered by Bezda nowadays, so too would be the halacha regarding Malkus. Furthermore, we know that this man Shabbos HaMidosh HaYikayim, no one, Misa cannot be administered on Shabbos. If Malkus B'Mokam Misoi Medes, so too would be the halacha regarding Malkus. Furthermore, as we know, we just discussed the other day, if somebody does an aveir for which there's chiyuv misa, he's only mechuyuv misa if he gets the proper asra. So too would be the halacha by Malkus. Furthermore, as we're going to learn in the Masechta, that when Misa was administered, the person who received the who got Misa was supposed to be Misvada, was supposed to say Vidui, so to be the halacha, somebody getting Malkus. Most interestingly, is a tshuva that I saw from the Maralbach. The Maralbach discusses where someone walked into Beis Din and said, I know I did an Aveira for which there's a Chi of Malkus. I ate Machol Sesuris, I ate non-kosher food, Bemezid, and Mechoy of Malkus. And we know that Malkus is not just a punishment. Malkus is a kapara. And therefore I want to receive Malkus in order to receive a kapara. Would Beis Din administer the Malkus or not? Says the Maralbach. If our Gemara is teaching us that Malkus b'mokim miso I medis, and if somebody's mechui misa, if he walked into Beis Din and said, I admit that I did an aveir for which there's a chi misa, certainly Beis Din would not administer misa. So too is the halacha by Malkus, that somebody says, I want to get Malkus, Malkus b'mokim misa medis, Beis Din wouldn't give it to him. Ask the Gemara, continuing with this line of questioning, a Malkus b'mokim misa medis, El Hada Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Amdullah Kabbal Esrim. We do this evaluation of how many Malkus this person could withstand. And we did an evaluation that he could take 20 Malkus. The Aloch is a Malkus Harush Lishtalish. The Aloch, as we're going to learn in Masechta Malkus, is that the number of Malkus that are administered has to be a number that's divisible by 3. So if this person could withstand 20, we're going to give him Kamahang, we're going to give him Tamnesari. 18 Malkus. There's an interesting Ravid. The Ravid says, what would be the halacha that this person was evaluated to get 20 Malkus? So of course we know the halacha is that if somebody was evaluated to get a certain number of Malkus and he dies before those amount were given, certainly the Shliach Beis Din is not considered that he killed him. He did what Beis Din instructed him to do. But what would be the halacha where this person was evaluated to get that he could withstand 20 Malkus? But because there's a halacha that the number of Malkus that are given have to be divisible by 3, so we only should give 18, as we're just learning. What happens if the Shliach Beis Din gives 19? And he dies by that 19th Malkus. Will the Shliach Beis Din be considered as if he killed him b'shoygig? Says the Ravid that he wouldn't. He says, because truthfully, the evaluation was that he could withstand 20. The only reason we're giving 18 is because of a side rule, a technicality that the number has to be divisible by 3. That rule doesn't change the fact that his evaluation was that he could take 20, and therefore if he died at the 19th, the Shliach Beis Din would not be considered a Hayrig Nefashos B'Shoygig. Ask the Gemara, if we evaluated him that he could withstand 20 Malkus, why not give him Lamechia Esrim V'chadah? Why not give him 21 Malkus? The Chimayis Behach Chadah, and if he's going to die during the 21st Malka, when he's still alive, because we said before he has to be alive when he gets the Malkus, Lamus, doesn't bother me. The Kamachus, Agab the Chayka Malkus. We gave Malkus to a live person, he died afterwards, Malkus V'Malkum Misa Medis. Amalei, so he responded. Amakrad, the Pasuk says, V'Niklo Achicha Lainecha. There has to be a situation, the Achashaloka, after he gets the Malkus, Achichabina, he should still be a live brother. Veleko, and here, if we're going to give him 21 Malkus, but he can't take only 20, he will not be alive after the Malkus. We begin now learning the halachas of Ibr Chodesh, Ibr Shanam. And a word of introduction is very much in order. We know that one of the basic concepts of our religion, basic practices, is that we follow the lunar cycle, not the solar cycle. The sun, every day goes up, goes down. The moon has a cycle where it starts small and grows until it then starts to diminish and then starts again every month. The actual cycle of the moon is 29 and a half days and 3/4 of an hour. And therefore, theoretically, Rosh Chodesh, which represents the new month, should be every month at 29 and a half days and 3/4 of an hour. However, Rosh Chodesh has to begin at the beginning of a day, as we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, the way the Jewish year works is that there are certain months that are 30 days, and there are certain months that are 29 days. The 30-day if it's a 30-day month, then the 30th day is Rosh Chodesh, as is the next day, the 31st day is the first day of the next month. If it's a 29-day month, the 29th day is the last day of the month, and the next day is the first day Rosh Chodesh, or one day Rosh Chodesh of the next month. However, furthermore, the year, the way the year is identified, the months are identified, as we know, Adam came in the time the Beis Hamikdash stood and said that they saw the new moon. But that's not the only factor to take into consideration if we say have Adam who say and we accept when they saw the new moon. There are other factors that have to be taken into consideration. We know Lo Yadu Rosh, Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Sunday, Wednesday, and a Friday. Yom Kippur can't be on a Sunday. Hoshana Rabbah can't be on a Shabbos. And there are other factors that are taken into consideration in deciding when Rosh Chodesh is. However, we cannot have a year that has 8 months that are Malay, that are 30-day months, with 4 months only being 29 days, because then the discrepancy between the time when Rosh Chodesh really is, between when the Mailit is, and when we're declaring Rosh Chodesh will be too great. So typically we should have a year of 6 months and 6 months, but because of these other factors, and also because, as I said, it's not exactly 29 and a half days that we could say every 2 months, if there'll be a combination of 59 days between these 2 months, it'll be equal, because it's really a little more than 29 and a half days. Therefore, we have to, again, adjust the calendar. We nowadays do not rely on this system, either because the Rishonim explained we don't have a Sanhedrin, and only members of a Sanhedrin are qualified to go through this process. Other Rishonim explained because, as we discussed earlier, we don't have smicha nowadays, and only people who are real smuchim can follow this. And therefore, Hillel HaZaken established the calendar, the Jewish calendar, with calculations that will be in place, that is in place until Mashiach comes from Harab Yemenu and we go back to the old system. The Achronim debate how we understand what Hillel did. Did doesn't mean that every month, at the beginning of the month, we who don't anymore have the ability to be Mekadosh HaChodesh according to the system that I just described, implicitly say we're relying on Hillel. Or that what Hillel will do is that Hillel up front, when he set up his calendar, did a Kiddush HaChodesh that is in effect forever. Actually, the Avni Nezer discusses that if we say that what Hillel does was done then and it should be forever, the Aloch is a one skip, forgets to say Yalav Yovai at night by Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh, he doesn't have to repeat Shmon Esrei. So if we say, as the Gemara says, that Kiddush HaChodesh takes place every month, and Kiddush HaChodesh is done by Beis Din, and it's done in the morning, so that's why Ma'ariv is not repeated, Shmon Esrei Ma'ariv is not repeated, because Ein Mekadshim B'Laila. But if we're going to say, ask the Avni Nezer, that Hillel already did the Kiddush HaChodesh from when he did it originally, so there's no concept of Emekach HaChodesh B'Laila. It was already Mekudesh going back to Hillel's time. So why don't we repeat Shmon Esrei by Ma'ariv if we forgot it on Rosh Chodesh? Answers the Avni Nezer that even if we follow that opinion of understanding Hillel, that what Hillel did was done then and was effective for future generations, it works with alumnus of Mekano Lahabel Mafreya. Every month we revisit what Hillel did, and that is done in the morning. Ramosha discusses the minig that Klal Yisrael has, that the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, we say Kiddush HaChodesh, we say Birkas HaChodesh, which, as the Shulchan Aruch and the Nois HaKelim explain, is a zecher for the Kiddush HaChodesh that took place in the times of Beis Hamikdash. Magen Avraham says that it should be done standing. It should be said standing. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a problem understanding the Magen Avraham's psak, because we know, as we're learning, this concept of Kiddush HaChodesh was a psak of Beis Din, And Bezdin's Psak was issued as they were sitting. So why is Kiddush Achayit, why is Brix Achayitish said standing? Says Ramosha Gevaldige Chiddush. Ramosha says that the procedure in Bezdin was that the Bezdin identified and declared the month to be that when it was Rosh Chodesh, but it was the people standing in the Bezdin that would say them Mekudesh Mekudesh, and their declaring Mekudesh Mekudesh is what actually made the month Rosh Chodesh. And the people standing in the room who said Mekudesh Mekudesh would do it standing. And since, as Ramosha explains, that is the real way, that is the main way that it's declared as Rosh Chodesh. So when we say Brikas HaChodesh, we're commemorating the people standing in the room of Bezdin. And therefore we should do it standing. Furthermore, Ramosha says, we know the minig is that the person who says Brikas HaChodesh, the Chazan, holds the Sefer Torah. Where does the minig of holding the Sefer Torah come from? So Ramosha quotes a Tosfos, a Masechta Brachos, where Tosfos says that we needed to have 10 people in the room declaring the month Mekudesh Mekudesh. And if there aren't 10 people, we have 9 people, we could use the Sefer Torah in the place of the 10th person. So that's why we hold the Sefer Torah to commemorate that halacha. So our Mishnah said, Ibra Chodesh Beshloisha. Making the month longer, we need to have a court of 3. Says the Gemara, Chishev like Tani. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about the calculation that I discussed. Kiddush like Tani. The Mishnah doesn't speak about when Bezdin declares the month Mekudesh. Eli Eber. It speaks about when the month is declared to be a Chodesh Mubar. Ask the Gemara, if that's all we need Bezdin for, Loi Lekatsha or Melaber. The fallback position is that the month is 30 days long. Why is any declaration, if the month is 30 days long and the 31st day is Rosh Chodesh, why is any declaration needed to make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh? Amar Abaye, to me, what we should learn in our Mishnah is Kiddush HaChodesh. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where the previous month had 29 days or 30, makes no difference, and we want to identify, Bezdin wants to say when Rosh Chodesh is, that should be done with a Bezdin of 3. Tayin HaMihachi. And so do we find in a Braisa, Kiddush HaChodesh V'Ibra HaShana B'Shloisha Divrei Meya. Amar Rava asks Rava for Ibra Ktani. Our Mishnah speaks about the Ibra, not the Kiddush. So how could you say that the Mishnah means Kiddush? And as the Rishonim explained, don't we find many times that the Gemara says Chsurim Echsra? Answer the Rishonim. To take a word in the Mishnah uses the word Ibra, and say, I'm going to replace that word, and instead of having the word Eber, I'm going to have the word Kiddush, we don't have such a right to do. Elam Rava, says Rava, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Kiddush b'yom Eber, if we're going to make the 30th day, which is the Yom Eber, into Rosh Chodesh b'shloisha, then you need to have a Bezdin of 3. But, Acher Eber, if we're going to say that the 31st day is the first day of the next month, like a Kiddush. There is no requirement for Kiddush HaChodesh. Omani, because whose opinion is this? The opinion of Elazar ben Tzadiki, the Tanya of Elazar ben Tzadik Omer, Imlai Nira Bezmanoi, if the 30th day was not declared the first day of the next month, that's considered Bezmanoi, because that's the day that the Moilud usually will be on. The halacha is emekachinoi soy. There is no reason to explicitly say that the 31st day should be the first day of the next month. Shevekatshu b'shamayim. It comes automatically and doesn't need required kiddush. Another way of explaining the Mishnah: Rav Nachman Amar kiddush achav b'shloisha. Only if Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 31st day, then do we need to have a bezdin b'yoyim iber. But if the 30th day is going to be declared the first day of the next month, like a Kiddush, then there's no Bezdin required, there's no Kiddush required. Mani, because this is the opinion of Plimihi, the Tanya Plimimer, Bezmanoi, if it was said on the 30th day, so given that that's, as I said a moment ago, really the right day, which should be Rish Chodesh, Taloch is, a Mekachnoi, sorry, Bezdin doesn't have to say it's Mekodesh, Shalai Bezmanoi, but if we're going to say that we're delaying it, so since it's not really the appropriate time, mekachin, so we have to go through Kiddush Bezdin. Vashem lo'olam chishik tani. The Mishnah is speaking about the calculation, not speaking about the Kiddush at all. Or my Eber. And why does the Mishnah speak about, use the word Eber? Chishiv the Eber. To make the calculation if what day the month should be, the Rosh Chodesh should be. But why does the Mishnah use the word Eber? Because I did come Mesliba Eber Shanir, since regarding the year, we want to speak about a leap year, Taninami Eber Chodesh, that's why we say Eber Chodesh also. So the Gemara now analyzes what Ravashi said. Chishiv Chodesh in. The calculations maybe for making the year a month longer is what our Mishnah is discussing. Kiddush Chodesh Loi. But our Mishnah doesn't speak about Kiddush Chodesh, Mani, because whose opinion will our Mishnah be referring to? Rabbi Lazihi. The Tanya Rabbi Lazihi Omer, Beim Bezmanai, Beim Shloi Bezmanai, whether, whenever the new moon is seen, there's no need for Kiddush. Only the Yovel year requires Kiddush. We have to Mekadosh Chodoshim. Every Rosh Chodesh doesn't require Kiddush. Interesting. The Yovel year we know is the 50th year in the cycle. If they didn't formally be Mekadosh it, will the halachas of Yovel apply? So our Mishnah spoke about how a leap year is proclaimed. So the Mara discusses how many dayonim are required for that. The Mishnah discussed it. You start with three, then you go to five, and then to seven. Tanya Ketzat, Arav Shimon Gamliel B'Shloisha Metzchilin. We start with three. V'chamoisha Noisnim V'Noisnim. Then we go up to five. V'Gorim B'Shiva. Echad Oymaleisha. So we start with the three judges. And one says that this is something that requires deliberation, if it should be a leap year. Vishnei Oymim Loyleshev, there's no need to make it into a leap year, but L'yochab Miyutai. We don't go any further. However, Vishnei Oymim Leshev, Vech Oymim Shloyleshev, Mesifim Leim Oy Shnayim, V'Noysev, we begin to deliberate further. Shnayim Oymim Tzricha, if two of the five say we should make it a leap year, Vishloysha Oymim Eynet Tzricha, but L'shnayim Miyutim, and we don't make it into a leap year. On the other hand, we add two more. We need seven. Ask the Gemara, what is these three, five, and seven correspond to? We know in the brachos of Kahanim, the first pasuk has three words, the second pasuk has five words, and the third pasuk has seven words. V'chadamer shloish kenegi shomer asaf. Machlokes who the shomer asaf were. Is it the shomer by Achashverosh or the shomer by Yirmiyah? Chamisha, the first pasuk says shloish shomer asaf. Chamisha roi pnei melech, mi roi pnei melech, and shiva roi pnei melech. Tanav Yosef, hani shloish v'chamish v'shiva. Shloisha keneged shomer asaf, the gatekeepers. Chamish b'mroi pnei melech are the ministers that see the king regularly. Shiroi pnei melech, those are the people who saw the king's face. They're even a higher level. They're a higher level of minister. Amalei by Rav Yosef. Ad head my time parish l'man hachay. Why don't you explain to us till now what the 357 number is? Amlu loy have you did the tzrichsu. I wasn't aware that you didn't know the answer because me be oisim in the milsa. Did you ever ask me a question for loy amri lechu that I didn't properly answer you? Had you asked me, I would have clearly answered you.